Radio 4. Het Mahler Festival 2020 zou morgen van start gaan in Amsterdam. En wie ook aanwezig zou zijn, net als bij het Mahler Festival 25 jaar geleden, is de kleindochter van Gustav Mahler, Marina Mahler. De coronacrisis dwingt haar om thuis te blijven, maar ze kan wel met ons praten vanuit haar huis in Zuid-Frankrijk. Het ligt in de bergen, de verbinding is niet op en top. We zijn toch blij dat we haar aan de lijn hebben. Dear Miss Mahler, a warm welcome.
Thank you very much. I love the Dutch language, so it's nice for me to hear it again.
Okay. If it wasn't for this pandemic, you would have been in Amsterdam right now. I hope you're doing well and healthy.
Oh, yes, I'm well and healthy, but the world is not healthy. I'm very sad for it.
You were at the Mahler Festival in 1995, now 25 years ago. Please share your memories with us.
Oh, it was, I can't believe it was 25 years ago, because time is quite incomprehensible. Mm-hmm. But it's like yesterday for me. And I remember it with huge love and affection. It was very, very beautiful and very special. Like this one would have been as well now, beginning now, which is very sad. And I remember absolutely everything about it.
What was it like to be in the city that embraced his music, Gustav Mahler's music, Amsterdam, in the early stages of his career?
Well, I've always loved Amsterdam. I've been coming for years, every year. I came over and over also to the Stopera. Pierre Audi was there so long and so wonderfully. And it's one of my favorite places in the world. And I think of it as the Mahler town, really, because it was the place which embraced his work, the only place, while he was alive. And for me, that's a huge thing, because I know what it's like when people don't embrace your work. I grew up with my mother, who is an artist, and it's very painful when what you think of as the root and the basis of your life is neither heard nor understood.
Could you define the ideal circumstances in Amsterdam for Gustav Mahler? Why Amsterdam and why not other cities?
Well, I think, number one, it was Mengelberg and the orchestra, which is so wonderful. And Mengelberg himself loved my grandfather's work, and I think there was a great friendship. And I would so have liked to know more all about Mengelberg and their friendship and all the details. And I'm very sad that we won't have this year this wonderful festival in the planning, which we were working together with Het Concertgebouw, with Simon Reinek, who so embraced with huge understanding and love the subject matter, you know, of Mahler in Amsterdam.
Please allow me to translate. Ze zit in de bergen in Zuid-Frankrijk. De verbinding is wonderwel goed met Marina Mahler. Ze zou zo graag hier zijn natuurlijk, zoals 25 jaar geleden bij het Mahler Festival. Ze weet het nog als de dag van gisteren. En voor haar is Amsterdam een dierbare plek. Niet alleen het Concertgebouw, maar ook de Stopera. De vriendschap met Pierre Audi daar. Amsterdam is niet alleen een bijzondere plaats voor haar, maar ook voor haar overgrootvader geweest, Gustav Mahler. Dat komt natuurlijk door het geweldige orkest en door de advocatuur van Willem Mengelberg. De vriendschap tussen hem en Gustav Mahler. Je zou er zo graag meer over willen weten. En ik had echt uitgekeken naar dit feest van nu, omdat Simon Reinek, de directeur van het Concertgebouw, zoveel liefde heeft voor de muziek van Mahler. En het feest zou zo prachtig geworden zijn. Ze heeft het ook over haar moeder Anna. Ze weet wat het is om afwijzing te hebben in je kunst. Anna was beeldhouster en had het niet zo makkelijk met haar carrière. Well, now that you mention your mother, Anna, she was a sculptress. We have something in common because my dad was a sculptor as well. So I know what it is
to be raised in an artistic.
But we will always have your mother's work with us at the Concertgebouw, the portrait in bronze that she made.
And I gave it in 1995 to the Concertgebouw.
Is that right?
And yes, I gave it to them.
That is wonderful.
As a gift, because I thought it would be wonderfully placed there. And not only your father and my mother, but the Queen of Holland is a sculptor. The Queen was the Queen, who was wonderful, and in 1995, I had the great joy. I sat next to her and her husband during every single concert during the festival, and it was wonderful. In fact, I wanted to reach out to her to give her my love and a big embrace.
Well, I hope, also saw her. We hope that she listens.
Yes. Yes.
Please take us back to your childhood, your mom being a sculptress and artist, and your father, Anatoly Fistulari, as well, the conductor, the famous conductor, who made a remarkable recording of a Tchaikovsky ballet in Amsterdam with the Concerto Orchestra.
Yes, he came to Hilversum to record all the time.
Yeah. So what was it like? What was your upbringing like?
Oh, it was wonderful. I imagine it was very unusual. But, you know, children don't know what's usual and unusual. They live exactly what they're living. And I loved my life. Only at age 7, my mother left my father behind and took me on the boat and on the train to live first with Alma, my grandmother, in Beverly Hills. So I left my father behind, and I had a whole new life in boarding school in Ojai, California, and that's where I grew up.
Ja. Haar moeder was een beeldhouwster, net als koningin, nu prinses Beatrix. En ik zou zo graag mijn liefde groeten, de warme groeten willen overbrengen aan prinses Beatrix. Want we hebben in het hele Malenfestival in 1995 naast elkaar gezeten en we werden goede vrienden, vriendinnen. Opgegroeid met mijn moeder als beeldhouwster, mijn vader als dirigent. Zeker, het was een geweldige situatie. Maar weet je, als kind weet je niet anders dan de situatie zoals die is. Dus zo was het. En toen ik 7 was, verliet mijn moeder mijn vader en nam me mee met de boot en het vliegtuig naar Californië, naar Beverly Hills. En daar kwam ik bij oma Alma Mahler terecht. So, did you get to know, in a way, in a sense, the music of your grandfather better at the time in Beverly Hills with Alma Mahler?
No. But first of all, there were not so many performances at that time when I was a small child. But also, I was in boarding school. So my discovery of his music came much later, when I was a teenager, already quite much older teenager. And my first real contact with my grandfather was through literature, amazingly enough, because I was terribly moved when I found out that my favorite book, The Brothers Karamazov of Dostoevsky, was also his favorite book. It made a huge impression on me that we should have the same favorite book, because it's hardly a book, it's more like a Bible. Yeah. And that made me feel terribly close to him. And then after that, of course, the music made me feel closer, I can't imagine, than what I felt to him then.
Ja, weet je, ik zat aan de westkust van Californië op een boardingschool. En dus we hadden contact met de muziek van Mahler was er niet, want er waren ook niet zoveel uitvoeringen van zijn muziek. En het was eigenlijk door literatuur als tienermeisje dat ik op een bepaalde manier in contact kwam met mijn grootvader Gustav Mahler door het boek De Gebroeders Karamazov van Dostoevsky. Dat was zijn favoriete boek, roman, noem het maar een bijbel. En voor mij was het dat ook. Now, we can, Marina Mahler, go to the symphony number 6 by Gustav Mahler, the finale, moment with the hammer. Is it okay that we listen to that excerpt and then you give me a little bit commentary on this moment, this fragment?
I would love to listen.
Okay,
who is conducting?
It is the Berliner Philharmoniker under Claudio Abbado.
Oh, how nice.
Thank you. Het is 5:30, u luistert naar Podium bij de NTR op Radio 4. Ik ben in gesprek met Marina Mahler. Vanuit Zuid-Frankrijk is ze bij ons. Zij is de kleindochter van Gustav Mahler. En dit is haar favoriete symfonie van Gustav Mahler, de zesde. This is your favorite symphony, isn't that right?
It is. It's so moving and it's such a wonderful performance with Claudio. And I have to say that, yes, I love it dearly because it seems to me, though people call it the tragic symphony, that there is so much uprising hope in that struggle. It's always crying higher and higher and higher against fate. And I love it dearly because it's huge striving. And I find it so otherworldly as well. I find that it's already gone to the other side, really, you know.
Uh-huh. And how about the man with the hammer? What does that stand for?
Blows of fate, I understand it. But I mean, people in their lives, they have blows of fate. And it is how you react to them that is everything. And I just think that the music is, for me, it's incredibly moving. But I find it moving and exhilarating, and I don't find it crushing. I find it lifts me up.
De zesde symfonie van Gustav Mahler wordt wel de tragische genoemd, maar Marina Mahler zegt voor mij niet. Het is inderdaad een symfonie van strijd, maar het is een symfonie van hoop. Het is ook een strijd tegen het lot. Of nou ja, als het lot toeslaat, de hamer, is de vraag hoe reageer je erop? Hij is niet een symfonie die mij vernietigt, die klap van de hamer. Nee, het is een symfonie die met hoop te maken heeft. Well then, you grew up on the west coast of the United States, far away from one of the epicenters of the early Mahler movement. And you have met him, and let me just introduce you to him by listening to the voice of Leonard Bernstein.
I'll bet there isn't a person in this whole Carnegie Hall who knows what that music is. Well, maybe some of you do because you've peeked at your programs and you know that today's concert is about a composer called Gustav Mahler. But who is this Mahler? Has any one of you ever heard of him? I'll bet not, or at least only very few of you. See, Mahler isn't one of those big popular names like Beethoven or Gershwin or Ravel, but he's sure famous among music lovers. In fact, we're playing an awful lot of Mahler these days right here at the Philharmonic. There's one of his pieces on every program for at least 2 months. And the reason is that this year is his 100th birthday. Imagine, he would have been 100 years old in July if he were still alive.
Leonard Bernstein in 1960 over Gustav Mahler, die lang niet zo bekend was toen als bijvoorbeeld Beethoven of Ravel, maar toen was hij 100 jaar geleden geboren en Leonard Bernstein verdedigde zijn muziek daar met verve. So you have met him, Leonard Bernstein.
Oh yes, he was an extraordinary man as well as a conductor and composer. And I want to say one thing, and it's so amazing because I just received this morning an email from his daughter, Jamie. And we are thinking maybe we can do something together, a project. But I want to say that he did something extraordinary because when John F. Kennedy was assassinated, Lenny chose Mahler's Resurrection Symphony to mourn him. And the performance was something quite extraordinary. And recently the New York Phil put on their virtual Mahler festival, which we will also have now our, with the Concertgebouw virtual Mahler festival, they put that exact performance that he performed after the death, 2 days after the death of John Kennedy, which changed America, I think, forever.
Het was 2 dagen na de dood van John F. Kennedy dat Leonard Bernstein de tweede symfonie, de Auferstehung van Mahler, dirigeerde. En de dood van Kennedy heeft ons allemaal veranderd. En deze symfonie heeft toen een enorme indruk gemaakt. Marina Mahler had vanmorgen nog contact met de dochter van Leonard Bernstein. En we willen gaan samenwerken. Er komt weer iets aan. Maar het virtuele festival in New York, daar hebben ze die uitvoering van toen, Mahler 2, onder leiding van Bernstein, nu op hun site gezet. Zoals natuurlijk ook in Amsterdam nu in met Concertgebouw, met Radio 4, een online Mahler festival komt. Isn't it striking that On the East Coast of America, Leonard Bernstein worked on the first integral recording of the symphonies, while Bernard Haitink, the young conductor, did the same at the same time simultaneously in Amsterdam.
Yes, I think life is like that. I think beautiful things happen all over the world simultaneously. There is some mysterious connection between all parts of our planet. And if we were more aware of this, we would treat the planet better, which we don't do. And I'm hoping that Song of the Earth from Mahler one day and our project, which will be upcoming, will make people think a little bit how they treat this wonderful planet, you know, and its mischief.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
And its underlying mischiefs.
Yeah.
And the which we are destroying.
Aan de oostkust van Amerika nam Leonard Bernstein met de New York Philharmonic de eerste grote integrale Mahler op. En in Amsterdam gebeurde hetzelfde, gelijktijdig met Bernard Haitink en het Concertgebouworkest. Marina Mahler zegt, ja, sommige dingen kun je niet verklaren, die zijn er gewoon. Als we maar beter daarnaar luisteren, naar die lijnen in het leven, dan zou het beter gaan met onze planeet ook. En dat zullen we moeten doen. En ik hoop dat dat lied van de eerde van Gustav Mahler nog eens een rol zal gaan spelen daarin. You are the founder of the Mahler Foundation. What does that foundation stand for? What is its aim, its credo?
Its credo and its aim is really to imagine the future and take Mahler beyond. I have the feeling that today's world is in great need and trouble. Mentally, intellectually, spiritually, socially, humanly, at an impasse. And things are gathering and they look quite violent and very distressing, not only for the planet, but for the human species. And I just think that Mahler can be harnessed, used, the beauty of the music and the fact that so many people seem transformed in their lives by listening. I would like this to be spread as far as possible to reach out and wake people up and make them as close to themselves as they can be, so that it should be a wake-up call. And that is the idea, to reach out as far as possible. That's why now we... Yes.
Om de einde van de wereld te bereiken met de muziek van Gustav Mahler in deze tijd. We zijn in een impasse. Om het maar eens mild te zeggen, want het voortbestaan van de mensheid staat op het spel. Klimaat, geweld, noem maar op. En de muziek van Mahler leert ons weer luisteren, ook naar een innerlijk zelf. So how does Mahler's music speak to you?
Well, it makes me want to go beyond myself. I think that in everybody's lives, because between birth and what we call death, which we don't quite understand, what is it and where does it lead afterwards, if it does, and we think it does somewhere, somehow, at least for the spirit. So I think that it means a looking inside and a looking with this glimpse inside, looking beyond and going beyond what one can do. I think Mahler went beyond himself. He accomplished more than any human being normally could. And I think that's what each human being wants to accomplish, somehow more than one is able, to try to go beyond. And I think that's what his music means to me. I think he lived through certain things for us, certain sufferings, certain depths, perhaps where people... You know, they say angels fear to tread. But he lived through that all and is passing it all to us so that we can experience it through the music and go into higher parts of ourselves and maybe it helps us through. How many people have said to me, you know, Mahler has transformed my life, or I never forget somebody said to me, Mahler helps me live. I keep, you know, hearing these things from people who come to me because they're sentimental that I'm the granddaughter. And this made me realize how strong this music can be and how powerfully it can work in people, even who don't know other serious music. And apparently it's the basis, you know, a lot of rock musicians and heavy metal musicians, he is their hero. And that makes me very happy because I think we can reach out to the young people, which is important, and that they can have joy from it.
Voor mij, zegt Marina Mahler, is de muziek van Gustav Mahler iets dat mij helpt verder te reiken dan mijzelf. Nieuwe perspectieven. Je weet, we zijn tussen geboorte en dood is het gegeven, maar we weten niet wat er gebeurt na de dood. Wat er gebeurt met onze geest. Dat er iets daarna komt, lijkt waarschijnlijk. Het is ook een blik naar binnen, naar het binnenste ik. En Gustav Mahler heeft zaken meegemaakt die normale mensen niet meemaken. Lijden, of zoals je in het Engels zegt, waar engelen zelfs niet durven te komen. En dat helpt ons, zoals mensen tegen mij zeggen. Bijvoorbeeld, Mahler helpt mij leven, te leven. En ik hoor het ook van jongelui, mensen die in de rock scene zitten. Popartiesten, die zeggen dat Mahler hun held is. I wish you well. Thank you for joining us. I wish you be inspired, be healthy, and thank you so much, Marina Mahler. Let's listen to the end of the Adagio from Mahler's 10th Symphony. That was your personal wish as well. Why? Yes. Why, please?
Ach, this 10th makes me suffer so much that it wasn't finished, and I think it has such sadness. It's Sehnsucht. It's looking back, but also looking forward to another kind of life, another life, and another ethereal kind of life. Moves me very much.
Thank you so much for this intimate conversation, Marina Mahler. I'm so sorry that you could not visit us and be with us once again in Amsterdam.
I hope it will come again.
Make it some other time. Please do.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.